Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. My name is Lindsay Curry, and this is my wonderful co-host, David Curry, who is back. He was out last week, and I had the privilege of Kevin Glasscock being on the show. Please make sure you go check out that episode if you have not. But David, welcome back. Welcome back.
Yeah, thank you. I know the feedback we received from Kevin being on, I wondered if maybe I should be able to take more time off. Well, no. That show went well. A very, very powerful episode from the feedback I've received. So,
yes, absolutely. And I'm excited. I'm super excited to dive into the topic today. For those of you that are listening, you know, what we're really going to be touching on is how to lead when you are fatigued. And I know that there are listeners or maybe folks that are watching right now that maybe you're just in this burnout season. You're tired, you're fatigued, you're stressed out. You've got so many things coming at you. You don't know which way to turn. And in one of the quotes that actually David and I actually have kind of come up with is leadership isn't about how you feel. It is about what you do in spite of how you feel. And so often, David, how many times do you not feel like doing something?
Well, I think that may be the theme of the show today, and that could be more often than not, right? Or more often than you want to admit. So I know personally with us and our situation, we were on spring break with the family last week and kind of unplugged. And I don't know if it always seems like it hits at times like that when maybe you've plugged yourself into a different area of your life, but it's harder. It's been harder this week, especially for me, to come back in, to plug back in, to get motivated. I think that business especially can be a roller coaster. Our mentor, John Maxwell, always teaches you that, you know, life is not always on this upward trajectory. And I think the more challenges and the bigger that you get and the more that you have coming into your life, which is what we're all striving for, the more ups and downs you're going to endure. So I'm excited for today's topic because it's a real topic. As we spoke to in our Orca Life Leadership Conference this year, today's going to be some cold, hard truth. You know, it's some cold, hard truth. And I guess I want to just put a message of encouragement out there to our listener is when you feel like that, you're not alone. Like, you know, it's okay to sometimes fall into that space where you're not just 100% go, 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 feeling on fire and knowing that you're doing exactly what you should be doing. So I think this is a real, real topic that I'm excited to unpack a little bit today.
Well, and to your point, it makes you human, right? Because if there's any listeners out there that are listening and say, oh, I don't deal with this, then you're probably not human, right? It's human to feel that. So let me ask you this, David. Have you ever experienced or lacked motivation to show up? Is there a specific time that you remember that was maybe a turning point through this business?
Yeah, you know what? I mean, one of the biggest, I think, and we are now thankfully a little bit further down the line from this, I guess, season of everyone's life. And that was the famous year of 2020. You know, COVID, the COVID year that kind of life in general stopped, business stopped, your normalcy, everything pretty much changed, you know, and as we said at that time, that was forced change. You know, a lot of times we like to choose to change. We know as leaders that change is a part of evolution and it is something that has to be embraced But it's very different when you are forced into that change. You know, it wasn't a change that you were excited about. It wasn't the changes that happened weren't something that were normal, and they really weren't conducive to what we saw as a traditionally successful path. So
you weren't excited to teach kindergarten math and reading?
I definitely didn't take myself back into that space. No, I had a much greater appreciation for our teachers out there and the quality of patience that I'm not gifted with. So no, I didn't go there, but I do know our business changed a lot. And the way that, you know, we're people that are out there, we were, what was the term that they were giving folks that were allowed to go to work back then?
We were, hold on, we were, oh, it's right at the tip of my tongue. I forget. Keep moving.
I know. We were important people. Yeah, we'll say that. Quote, yes, unquote, important people. That were allowed to work, but there were 2 weeks where, you know, us going out, knocking on doors, seeing families, sitting down face to face, you know, masked up. That wasn't an option. You know, when COVID first hit, our traditional,
we were essential workers.
Essential workers, yeah. So thankfully, we were legally allowed to go out and do what we were able to do, but for a couple weeks, that was all in limbo. And that was a time where it says, okay, we cannot do what we've always done. And in a 1099 position, if you're not out there doing it, everything kind of stops. You know, I say our world goes around on money. Money makes our world go around. And if we're not out there doing it, then our money doesn't flow the same way. So that was a very difficult time. That I remember, I go back to some of the podcasts and things that I was hearing from a guy like Ed Milet that said, this is a season where you're either going to plug in and adapt quickly and change and continue to grow and feed yourself and do the things that you have to do to become a bigger, better person, to when you come out on the other side of this, you're going to be so much further than everybody that stopped. And I always kind of personally leaned into that thought that, okay, you've got two choices to make at this point. We're going to lean in or we're going to retract and kind of fall in line with everybody else that, quote unquote, right now isn't doing anything. You know, they're just kind of watching the world go by, and whenever the world picks back up, we're going to plug back into where we were, even though that's a year down the road, it ended up being for a lot of people, and things never came back to the way that they were. So we constantly, I think at that time, stayed motivated and pushed to become better, pour into ourselves, develop mentally, develop intelligently, develop spiritually, all of the things that you have to do, I think, to balance and create and take some of the up and down out of the everyday walk at that time of our life. And we had a team of people and the agents, they were all kind of doing the same thing, leaning in, because if you don't lean in our business, then the business kind of seems to move beyond you. So that was certainly a time that came to my mind, thinking about when motivation was difficult. And I know for a lot of people, you really hit that wall once things got back to normal, because you were so plugged in and so focused on, we're going to figure it out. We are going to figure it out. You almost had to be double focused in at that point and locked in on how to make this work. You were working twice as hard because things weren't what they were. So a lot of people I know, they hit that wall right after, quote unquote, the world opened back up. And now it's like, whew, I can slow down. You know, things go back to, no, quote unquote, normal.
Correct. And honestly, because we were in a position, and as far as Orca, and we did lean in, because I do remember we had multiple calls a week, because you got to remember, folks listening in that we were 1099 sales agents. So we were still staying connected through Zoom. We had just kind of introduced that to our platform and really stayed plugged in and connected because it was just everybody knows it was such an uncertain time. And really, after we look back and reflected, after that year, our sales doubled and the growth within our agency doubled. And so that is a prime example of leaning into the folks that you're surrounded with. And if there's folks listening in that you're not on the right team right now, check out Orca Life, because we have the right team, the right platform that allows folks to continue to succeed and excel at high levels. So,
right. And again, 5 years down the road, a progressive platform that does lean into change. And I think that is a key to ever evolving. But I want to digress just a hair as we go, because I want to context what we're talking about, right? The cold, hard truth, the leadership fatigue, you know, the day that you wake up and it may be this Monday scaries or whatever day that may fall. And you're like, man, I just don't know. Am I in the right place? Am I in the right business? Am I doing the right thing? Am I surrounded by the right people? So leadership fatigue, you can call that. And as I look at those things, it says, here are some signs of leadership fatigue. So look at, for us, maybe it was this week, maybe it was Monday, leadership fatigue coming off spring break. You are constantly reactive, not proactive. You're short-tempered, emotionally detached, and Lindsay, try to maintain your composure. You start questioning your impact or direction, or you withdraw instead of leaning in. So those are signs that you can see, and we say that awareness is the first step, right? If all these things are happening, but you're not necessarily aware of those feelings, you're not the person that you could be, right? If those things are plaguing your thoughts or playing your action, you know, you're just showing up and reacting to what hits you in the mouth that day rather than working to be better next month or by the end of the year. So all of those things, being too emotionally reactive, feeling like your impact isn't there, right? Like you question what I'm doing, does it matter? Those are all things that are signs that you may feel that burnout. You may feel that fatigue. You may not have the motivation that you need. So what I'd ask, Lens, is when you feel like that, what have been some things that you've done in the past that help overcome those emotions?
Well, again, something that Glenn Crabtree, which he's the president and CEO of Orca. He's been on a couple of our episodes. Something that he always said and still continues to say, if something isn't going right, meaning if you're not getting results in business that you're wanting right now, change something up. Change it up. And as far as changing up, maybe change up to another house that you would knock on or another way that you would approach an opportunity, or maybe change the clothes that you're wearing. And I remember there was a point within the business, I think it was about 3 years in, I wasn't getting the results. I was feeling that fatigue. And like, you know what? He's right. And guys, girls, it doesn't mean you have to go spend, you know, hundreds of dollars. You can go to Walmart, you can go to Kohl's and just get, I got three different blouses, three different slacks, and just changed up my appearance, cut my hair a little bit, just those things to really just set the tone. Because there was a book that I'm listening to actually right now, The Psychology of the Sale by Brian Tracy. And he talks about your appearance. He actually talked about a gentleman on there that had gone to one of his sales conferences, and he had long shaggy hair, and he said, "Hey, I'm not getting the sales that I want." And Brian Tracy said, "Hey, it's your appearance. You've got to cut your hair. You know, you're meeting with business professionals. You need to cut your hair. And so he cut it a little bit. Well, guess what? His sales went up a little bit more. And then he cut it more. And then they jumped up more. And then he went super conservative, cut it like a business professional. And guess what? His sales skyrocketed. But you know what happened? So he was able to move out of his parents' house, he said. And then all of a sudden, he started reverting back to his old ways. So he started letting his hair grow. And then at that point, guess what? His sales went through the tank. They were down in the dumps again, and he got out of the business. So, you know, it goes back to the idea, okay, if we change this thing about us, if we change this thing, you also have to change your identity. That's something that Ed Mylett talks a lot about, is changing your identity. So if you were somebody who once was overweight or maybe consumed a lot of sugar, you've got to change your identity that you're no longer that person. So you will not revert back to that. Because he did not change his identity, that is why ultimately folks revert back to their former selves and habits that don't serve them.
Yep, the old Deion Sanders, right? You look good, you feel good, you play good, they pay good.
Yes.
But yeah, it is. Identity is everything. It is a powerful, powerful thing.
Well, it is. And one thing that, you know, when you think about that, so John Maxwell talks about experience. And experience is not the best teacher. Evaluated experience is the best teacher. So when you're thinking about if you're in sales or if you're in some kind of consumer-facing business where you're not receiving the results that you feel that you deserve, you need to evaluate. Hey, is it in the way that I'm greeting them? Is it in my appearance? Is it, where am I getting hung up? Where am I not allowed to get past that barrier? What is holding me back from getting the yes? Right? Or getting the no, whatever that is, you've got to evaluate it because experience is great. But if you're not taking the time to reflect and say, hey, this is where I could get a little bit better, then again, if you're not growing, you're dying.
Yeah. And I would say a lot of that comes from the motivation that you have, right? If you're not motivated about what you're doing, it's hard to do the second level of evaluating what you're doing to figure out how to get and make that better too. So when we talk about motivation, you know, there's something that I remember us teaching on and reading that sticks out in my mind. And it was from James Clear, Atomic Habits, if you remember that. And I'll go back to another quote, you know, that we actually use with our team this week. And that was, you don't rise to the level of your goal. You will fall to the level of your systems. And in the context that James uses that, you could also say replace systems with habits, you know, atomic habits. Your habits create who you are. So I think that is a big part when you've lost that motivation that you may have, and you may not feel like you're on fire or that you're living out your purpose. It's the motivation is something that does. It does come and it goes. You know, that is something that you really have to look at doing every day. And one of the ways that you can maintain that motivation is by what you're listening to. You know, so a practical way to help yourself stay more motivated, stay more positive, stay that person that people are attracted to versus retract from is what is it that you're listening to? Are you listening to something that is pumping you up, that is making you better, that is growing you spiritually, that is making you more connected, making you a better leader? Because what it is that you listen to, and I just heard this past week, I'm getting ready to go on an amazing experience through the Maxwell Masterclass and meet a gentleman by the name of Nito Cubain. And Nito has been somebody that came to the United States at 17 with $50. This is a snippet of his story, $50, and has become now the president of High Point University and completely multiplied that campus since he has taken the leadership role of being the president of that university. Taking a step back to do that from a super successful entrepreneurial career, business owner, multiple business owner, business seller, global speaker. And Nito is the one that kind of says, you've got to stay plugged into the process, your process, right? It's about the people around you and the circle of influence that you have. That is what's going to feed you. And what you get fed, it stays in there. So when that motivation, when what's up here, because our thoughts become our actions, right? And that's kind of what we're talking about. You know, the motivation is a byproduct of the thoughts that we have. That, you know, that those thoughts create action. And when we're positive inside of our head, then positive action transpires. When we're negative, then a lot of times we retract and we don't feel like doing anything. So what is it that we're pumping in? Because it's going to stay there. And that's such a big piece, I think, to overcoming the lack of motivation.
Absolutely. You know, habits and rituals and disciplines that serve us, right? Because motivation, not everybody wakes up motivated in the morning. I know I don't, and I know you don't. And there's several other folks that are plugging into this that they don't as well. But when you rely on those things that you do that do become habits that you do without thinking about it, that is what allows you to really get into that rhythm. And that's so important, especially in this fast-paced world that we live in. And just, David, I mean, you and I with the three kids and in our business and all the sporting activities, if there's moms listening to this, that it becomes overwhelmingly crazy. It's just chaos at all times, essentially. But how can you bring organization to that chaos? And that's where your rituals and habits really plug into that. So, David, let me ask you this. You know, once you feel like you've kind of overcome that struggle and possibly leveled up, do you feel like there's an ever opportunity that you could go back to that? You could go back to where you were?
Oh, I laugh a little bit. That makes me chuckle because you certainly hope so, right? You certainly hope so. But like we said, this is kind of the cold, hard truth of it. And I guess the short answer would be no. It's not like you hit these plateaus and you're never going to go back and get back into that mental space. You know, you are going to adapt and you are going to learn if you do this properly. And if you are plugged in and you are leaning into how am I going to solve this problem? How am I going to overcome these things? Who am I going to surround myself with that can help me? So I guess there's a couple strategies that I had that will also help when you're in that valley. And one of those is going to be to prioritize, right? Like, what are my priorities? And a lot of that comes from the system that you're working, right? The habits that you have. Again, like you said, evaluating the experience. This is what's got me here. What's going to get me to my destination, my next step. And remembering what those priorities are, getting refocused back in on maybe just some of the things I can do to become the person that I want to be or to achieve the result that I'm looking to achieve. Another thing that I've kind of done well, kind of not done well, is taking the break, right? And taking the micro break, like not the spring break, not the week long trip on the beach, right, where you've completely unplugged, but you know, the 10 minute break in the office where, you know, you keep getting hit with the problem after problem and how are we going to do this and where's my strategy I can't find to get down this road. And slowing down and taking 10 minutes to recenter yourself, to unplug, to maybe just get outside and take that walk around, or even,
Yes.
You know, if you've got to have it, take that day off. There's been a lot of things that we've taught in the business. It's like, look, we knock on doors, and some days that can be 25 doors in a day. And when all of those doors are unsuccessful or don't take you where you want to go, that is a very difficult mental battle that you're fighting. And we're like, look, are you in the middle of the day? If we're on door 13 of those 25 and all these 13 have been unsuccessful, it's okay to plug, because guess what? You're going to be better after you've unplugged. And we've even told people, you know, we got a lot of young people that like to play golf. Find a driving range, find a golf course, unplug for an hour or two, and go do something that you love. You know, listen to a book that you've really fell in love with. Listen to some music that gets your energy reflowing in a different way. Micro breaks can reset the way that you're going to show back up. And I think that's a big part of it too. And the other strategy, I guess, that we've always leaned into is, who are we surrounded with? And that is our circle of influence. And that's leaning on the other people. You know, number one, being honest and transparent in that circle, but also having a circle that can understand where you're at. You know, that understands not every day is warm and fuzzy and exactly what you want it to be. And in a lot of cases, those people have been there, done that, and overcome those battles and help me overcome that battle now, right? Like, let me get this off my chest. You build me back up and give me a priority to focus in on. So what are my priorities? How can I unplug? And who can I surround myself with that's going to help me get back to where I need to be, to where my thoughts are going to produce positive action? And that's, so you asked, once I overcome that, am I going to go back there again? Yes, you are. Yes, you are going to go back to that point at some point in the day. And Lindsay, I know we kind of talked a lot about one of the lessons we may have learned this past year from John, right? Mm-hmm. It is, you have done hard to be prepared for harder. Because I think most people, like myself, say, well, once I've done this.
Right. I'm going to sail off to the sunset. Yeah. Done this. I'm going to be sitting on a beach drinking a Mai Tai. Yeah. Fake news.
Everyone say that's not good.
Yes. Yes. No, at that, when I heard that lesson, and I think it was Tracy, one of the podcast folks on there, she talked about, you do the hard things and we've been taught because they're going to get easier, but actually it's setting you up for things that are much harder. And when I reflect back on the last 10, 11 years in this business, it's so true. Because think about this. Think about just yourself just for a moment and the hard things that you've been through, whether that be personally, whether that be in business, your family, your career, spiritually, whatever that is setting you up to do this next hard thing. And you might be in that storm right now. You may be in that storm at this moment, and that is propelling you for the next thing. And oftentimes when I personally am facing that, I revert back to a hard thing that I did before. And so for a long time, I was a competitive dancer and danced for the University of Louisville. And when we had 3-a-days and we were practicing 3 hours, 3 times a day, so up to 9 hours in one day during our quote unquote spring break, I revert back to those. Those were some of the hardest times that I had been through. And so in business, that really set me up because I was able to revert back to, okay, well, if I can do that, I can do anything. If I can do that, because a lot of it, it's just mental. It's building that mental muscle and allowing yourself to push past what your body almost feels like it can't. But as long as your mind can go there, you will push past that. So that was something that I've learned over time and time again.
Yeah. And I would say one thing I've always leaned into, and I think you can lean into that from that experience, is what did you achieve when you did that? Right. What did you achieve? And I know.
2 national titles. Yes.
In your case. Yeah. So you go back to the wins. You go back to the good.
Correct. And how bad do you want to win? How bad do you want to be successful? And so those days that you do not feel like getting up and going after it, think to yourself, how bad do I want to win? And you may have to ask yourself that like maybe 20 times, right? How bad do I want to win? But if you continue to ask yourself and program your brain to think in that way, what is going to separate you from the person next to you, right? What is it? What is that going to be? Right? Is it your systems? Is it your attitude? Is it your effort? Is it your grit? What is the thing that's going to allow you to be just a little bit different and show up a little bit better?
And as a high performer, that's exactly it. It's showing up, right? What separates us from average is that we show up more often.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Well, David, I've loved this episode, and thank you to all of our podcast listeners today, and we will see you all next week.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high-performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial. That's HIPE.financial to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast. Filing taxes isn't fun, but if you're a procrastinator, you'd better get to it. I'm Matt McClure with the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife. The tax filing deadline is just around the corner on April 15th. Mark Stieber is Chief Tax Officer at Jackson Hewitt.
The deadline is a real deadline. And by deadline, I mean there are teeth, penalties, and other consequences for failing to observe it. There's a failure to file penalty, which is exactly as it says, a 25% of any taxes that you owe for failing to file by the deadline. You got to do something. File a tax return or file an extension.
Stieber says one of the biggest misconceptions is that if you do file for an extension, you may think you don't have to pay the IRS a penny right now, but that is not the case.
It's a 6-month extension. You file the form 4868, or you mail it in or file electronically or get a pro to help you with it. But you file that and you immediately stop, or at least put it the back door, the failure to file penalty.
But there are other penalties that still may apply.
There's a failure to pay penalty, separate from the failure to file. It's another separate 25% penalty on any balance that you might owe, plus interest, as is on the failure to file penalty, 25% plus interest. And then if you owed money throughout the year because you had side hustle or retirement income that didn't have withholding, or you had crypto gains, you might have an underpayment penalty separate from the other two.
If you live in an area affected by a natural disaster last year, you could get some extra time. But Stieber says,
more importantly than that time extension, which is good, are the tax deductibility elements that are available as it relates to a loss on a disaster. So if you've actually suffered and you're in a federally declared disaster, which is just about all of Florida and all of North Carolina, among other areas, you have a lot more options and a lot more tools in your tax toolbox, the least of which is a tax deduction for an economic loss.
And if you feel overwhelmed by the process, get help from a professional.
There's lots of people with extra hours, extra staffing, but you do need to take action, find those documents, get to your favorite trusted, branded local tax professionals, and simply get your taxes filed. It's the smart thing to do at this time of year.
If you don't, Uncle Sam has some hefty penalties waiting for you. With the Retirement.Radio Network, powered by AmeriLife, I'm Matt McClure.